Good evening. Tonight's shiur is being learned L'zecha Nishmas Yisrael Meir Ben Yochanan Olav HaShalom. The parsha, we have a double parsha this week, Achrim Mos Kedoshim, and obviously they belong together for the very simple reason, as the Gemara points out many times, that every time we have a punishment, we have to know where the warning came first. The Torah always gives us something that we are allowed to or not allowed to do, and the punishment that's relevant to the Issa to do it. And we have the Arayas at the end of Parshas, the Azhara, at the end of Parshas Achrimos, certain Arayas that we're not allowed to do, have relations with certain people. And at the end of Kedoshim, it has the punishment that we do it. Of course, when it doesn't stress the punishment, it's generally chenek, unless it's, for instance, a bas kohen gets shreifa, and any time it uses the word demehem bom or damav bo, it means skila. Getting away from that, the parsha in Achrimos begins very simply, Achrimos. At this point, we would wonder why in particular Achrimos Shnei B'nei Aaron, why it would go so far as to tell us after two parshas in between, Sazria Metzora, after the death of Nadav and Avihu, and it goes on to tell us now about some new restrictions on Yavod B'Kol Eichal HaKodesh. Why was it not mentioned in Parshas Shmini? When it said Parshas, when we had Parshas Shmini, the only thing that Moshe said to Aaron Yayin, the Shechor Al-Tesh, that told Venecho Yitoch, that gives us the impression that perhaps even though Bahak Rivam Esarah, this was another factor that they went into the Kodesh Kodashim with while they were a little drunk perhaps, but there are so many different reasons. That's not where we're going tonight. But now suddenly it says Al Yavo B'Kol Eichal HaKodesh, and we know the reality is nobody is ever allowed to go into the Beis Hamikdash, excuse me, not to the Beis Hamikdash, but to the Kodesh Kodashim, only on Yom Kippur, and that would only be the Kohen Gadol, nobody else. So why wouldn't it mention that, particularly that they should have, Nadav and Avihu should have been put away, so to speak, right away at the point when they entered the Kodesh Kodashim. But the fact remains that wasn't the case yet, because at this point in time, before they did that Avera, God had not specified all these restrictions now. But after they went in unannounced and they did what they did, then Moshe had to them, God had to tell Moshe, Al Yavo B'Kol Eis HaKodesh, there is Eis L'Chol Chefetz, there's a time and a place for everything. And that's one of the lessons that we're getting from this. Everything has a time, Eis for everything. And that's what's lost on a lot of people. But what I wanted to mention in particular over here, we have in the middle of Parshas Achrimos, after all the avoda that we were discussing that we do on Yom Kippur, there are many other things involved over here. And we see so many times in this week's Parsha, both of them, and particularly in Kedoshim, so many times the Pasuk ends on the Hashem, and invariably many of them say particularly Ani Hashem Elokeichem. And we would think, we take it for granted that it seems to be a normal use of language, but as we know, there were no extra vowels, there were no extra letters, and no extra words certainly, but even every single word has to be accounted for. And where we're going with this is that when we begin the Parsha of Kedoshim, we know something that's very interesting. And the parsha begins, "Daber al bnei Yisrael v'yomar tov lehem kedoshim to you." By the way, as a trivia question, this parsha has the most words before the name of the parsha is mentioned. I believe it's like the 14th word in the parsha before. It's not even in the first pasuk, but it's the 14th word. It's just a cute trivia question. But nevertheless, we take a look and we see, "V'yomar tov lehem kedoshim to you, ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem." Very good. But if we take a look at the word Kedoshim and Kadosh, they're spelled differently. The word Kedoshim, when it says Kedoshim to you, is spelled what we say Chaser. After the Dal, there is no Vav. But when it says Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem, it's spelled Mole. And that is to teach us one thing. As holy as God wants us to be, we can only attain a certain level of Kedusha. we will never be the perfect on the Madrega that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. We don't have that capability to be Kadosh as God. But what God is telling us here is, as I mentioned, the title would be exceptionalism. The whole parsha is a recipe for exceptionalism. There are two, three, four times in the parsha it's mentioned, and many times it tells us throughout the Torah that I have made you separate. And too many times when Jews leave the state of Israel, and even those that sometimes remain, we try to acclimate ourselves to the ways of the world. And that's exactly what God does not want. When Yosef brought us up, when Yaakov and his sons went down to Mitzrayim, Yosef said, I prepared for you the Oshavto b'Eretz Goshen. You'll be near me, but you will be alone. And so that you will be separate from everybody else. I don't want you to be influenced and become like the Mitzrayim. And that's where we get to the beginning, in the middle of the parasha of Achrimos. We have a very interesting pasuk that tells us that Kemasei Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yishavtem Bo Lo Sasu, Kemasei Eretz Kanaan Asher Ani Mevi Eschem Shomo Lo Sasu. Where you left Mitzrayim now, I want you to forget everything that you ever learned. The value system that you acquired for all those years in Mitzrayim is good or bad. What you think maybe that some of them are worth keeping, that they may have some values, forget about it. Doesn't work. I've made you different. And when you go into the land of Eretz Canaan, I don't want you to adopt anything that they do. We see this throughout history, that every time we begin, what is the beginning of assimilation is when we start to adopt and try to act like the nation. And unfortunately, since Korban, we've been living scattered around the world, even during the 70 years of Golus between the first and second Beis Hamikdash. So few Jews came back because they became acclimated to their lives in various places. There are records even of Jews being in England between the first and second Beis Hamikdash, even that far back, as far west as that. Imagine throughout Europe and as far all the way to the end, till the Atlantic Ocean, there were Jews spread out and they did not come back. And because they began to assimilate, and we see the longer that we're away, we see the threat of assimilation. And God is trying to tell Bnei Yisrael, I want you to be a very different person. And we see the value system. Every time we mention at the beginning of Parashas Kedoshim, as I mentioned at the beginning, so many psukim say, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, and sometimes it says, Ani Hashem. And the difference is very stark. Because if we take a look at the term Ani Hashem, it's talking about the laws that pertain, a lot of them pertain to the entire world. Avodah Zorah is not permitted for the entire human race. That's one of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach, that nobody is allowed to have idolatry. It's forbidden for everybody. And anything that's to do with Avodah Zorah is Ani Hashem. When God tells us, Et Shavso Sai Tishmoru, these are laws that are pertaining to you, my people. I've made you separate. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. I want you to observe these mitzvot because I am your God and not the other. On that level, these are mitzvot that I am giving to Jews. And for instance, Umizara Cholos Itein Lahavir Lamolech, Ani Hashem. And L'chol B'nei Odom, that's for everybody that has to do with Avodah Zorah. But we see more than one time in the parasha, at the end of Kedoshim, it says once again, V'isem li Kedoshim ki Kadosh, again it's Mole, V'avdil Eschem in O'amim li Yosli, and the beginning, Kedoshim, V'isem li Kedoshim, is again Choser. It mentions it two different times. As holy as I want you to be, then that's what there's still a limit to what you can do. And these are the things that we have to be concerned about. There's one other thing here that is relevant to that as well. When it says, Ushmartem es chukosai v'yismishpotai, there is a proviso here. When God tells us that he wants us to watch and be very careful to observe all the mitzvot, is something that's very interesting. We know when we have it next week's parsha, when we read Emor and it says Vochai Bohem, in this week's parsha it also uses the terminology Eswadom Vochai Bohem Ani Hashem. It is referring to something totally different. And for instance, when it says Vushmartem Eskukosai V'Yashmishpotai Asher Yaseh Odom Odom Vochai Bohem. Now, God is telling us to watch all the mitzvot, the chukim, and the mishpatim. However, not to say that you don't have to watch out, but it's talking now to the chachamim that will make gezeros and make takonos to build fences around the Torah because they see pitfalls that the laws are may lead to of your, you know, to sometimes we misinterpret a law, so the Chachamim build a fence. When they see something is growing lax, they build a fence around it, and the Chachamim make fences to protect us. But the answer is Asher Yaseh Odom, the Takonos and the Gezeros that are man-made, make sure Ruchai Bohem, Ani Hashem, make sure that these are laws that the people that you try to enact these safeguards around these people, your people, make sure they could live by them. Don't make them too stringent, because it's like when you eat a piece of chocolate cake on a diet, you tend to binge. And people, when they get down on themselves, and they think if they've done something too much, they lose focus, and they begin to sin worse than they would have. But altihi tzadik harbe. And that is what that pasuk is referencing to. It's very interesting, more than that. Of course, we have a very interesting pasuk in the Chumash this week again, that is one sem ani Hashem Eloteichem, when it says that when you're planting, and it says lo soklu al adam. On the surface, we are told in the Gemara that lo soklu al adam means the very simple thing that we're not supposed to eat. We're not supposed to eat before we daven in the morning. First, we should daven before we eat. Very good. But the fact remains, lo soklu al adam is in the middle of the chapter that's talking about Avodah Zorah. And therefore, what the Abarbanel points out in his time, and as well in the time when the Bnei Israel came into Canaan, and even as late as the late Middle Ages, even there were records in the 1800s, lo soklu al adam would be the goyim. They would sacrifice animals and take the blood from the sacrifice in an effort to appease the gods, as they would call it, and help the crops grow. They would sprinkle blood all over the field, and that's what it means by lo soklu al hadam. Don't expect that. Don't inherit those type of flaws. We want to be separate. We find, if we take a look, we notice among certain cultures, especially on the Sephardis, that they, before 1492, for a couple of centuries, and they had a different style. The Ashkenazi Jews, rather than convert, they always gave their lives. The Sephardi felt that you could live not to say a double life, but to say that they could lead both lives. They could be well into business and still keep a kosher home and do everything kadash v'kadin. But what happened is a lot of them converted, and this is what led to assimilation. And we see that happens because they assimilated. They wanted to be part of that. And what the Chassan Sofer did, for instance, as a great example all the time, is that amongst many Jews, and we see it in the Sephardim, even up to probably 30, 40 years ago, you see in some yeshivas that had Sephardim children, they didn't wear a yarmulke outside the yeshiva. And that wasn't just because they weren't religious. In a lot of ways, they were of the opinion that you didn't have to, because it was only by the enactment of the Chassan Sofer in the late 17, early 1800s, that he enacted that since it became a rule amongst the goyim that they were told that they would have to take their hats off when they would enter a church, he mandated that from now on everybody had to put on a yarmulke. We see stories in the Gemara that even the rabbis in the Gemara were told that they had to wear a head covering Once somebody got married, certainly every time you would daven, make a bracha, anything you would do that had any religious significance, you would have to have a head covering on. But it seems clear that many times, many, many years ago, people would walk around without one, and that was an enactment in the same way. One of the other things is we see that in New York you have out of town, you don't see it as much, but in New York you have all these catering halls that are specifically made for weddings and bar mitzvahs, so that they wouldn't have it in a shul. A lot of people will not make a wedding in a shul under any circumstances, and that was not always the case. But when it became mandated for people to get married in a church, then the Chasan Sofer made a mandate that no longer would we have a wedding, any religious observance in that type of setting in a shul, and we would do it in an outside. And that has nothing to do with having the chuppah tachas hashemayim, but nevertheless, we would not do it inside a shul. And today, that is still relevant. That's still prevalent in many communities. Out of town, they don't have a lot of catering halls. They do it, but it's not per se that it's verboten. But this was an enactment for the chasan sofer. But these come under the category of things that are enacted v'chai bohem. When it's possible to do it, we do it. When it's not possible to do it, when the restrictions are added just as a safeguard so that we shouldn't assimilate, then it's not necessarily the rule of thumb. It's just a minig that we have. It's an enactment. But those enactments are only v'chai bohem, v'chai ha'adam, v'chai bohem. The enactments that are made by man are only so that we could live by. Of course, we have to be careful. But we always, this is a recipe for all the things we have. And if you open up a Gemara and read a Zeh Neshech, there's probably at least three straight block Gemara that are discussing all the different ways one is not allowed to steal, all the subdivisions of not stealing. And therefore, the Gemara asks at that point in time, why doesn't it just say Lo Tignovu, and we would know all the ways that you can. But nevertheless, the rest of the world does not feel that way. Not everything is considered stealing. But since we are different, we are supposed to be kedoshim, vo'avdil eschem min ho'amim li'osli. We have lo senach ashu. There's all kinds of theft. There's geneva's das. There's geneva of all things. Charging interest comes under the category of weights and measures, come under the category of stealing. All of these things, and the Gemara has to justify why every pasuk is necessary if we know certain things. But of course, the halachas are different. When do you receive the avera for stealing? Most of the time it would be upon the act of thievery, but is also under certain conditions. Preparing for the act of thievery under certain conditions could be being over the Avera as well. More explanation is needed, but it's all listed in Gemara and Ezel Nesha. I believe like around Samach Aleph, Samach Beis, and Samach Gimel, all of the different ways. But the fact is, all of these things are so that we remain different. If we adapt the value system of the rest of the world, then we become like the rest of the world. God worked very hard, gave us the Torah, so that we stand out. I chose you. We are the Am HaNifchar. We have to live up to the standards. Baruch Hashem, we see so many things and we live to see 75 years of the land of Eretz Yisrael. We hear so many stories of the Kiddush Hashem, of various things that people do, that we keep getting these stories and it's wonderful to see it. May we only see things that represent the Kiddush Hashem. Thank you and have a good week.